Psalms 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations.
Well, good morning. I'd ask you to open up your Bibles to Psalm 100. We're going to pick up there in just a minute if you haven't done so already. Before I get into my sermon, a lot of the ladies hopefully today will be getting a flyer that the Weavers have put together, Claire in particular. And I love the idea. The elders have met with Claire, and it's just a wonderful idea. But I just wanted to read this one sentence about it. It says, "Our goal is to create opportunities for older and younger women to learn from each other and be able to encourage and create deeper relationships." And that's what it's all about. So if you have the opportunity to go to this, it's December the 11th, and it's just the beginning of what's going to be happening as you go forward. It's just a tremendous opportunity to continue those relationships and to help one another. So I encourage you to do that if you have the opportunity, no matter your age. It's just a wonderful thing to be able to do. This morning, I want to talk about having a grateful attitude and all the grace that our God gives. We're in a time, obviously, where we talk about being grateful and the gratitude and thanksgiving. Obviously, that's over. So you forget that, and now it's about what are you going to get me for Christmas? So that gratitude's out. But as God's people, obviously, this is supposed to be our attitude all the time. This isn't just something that happens for some odd reason that goes with turkey. This is a time or something that we think about all the time. We are to be grateful and thankful in all that we do. Even to the point in Philippians, it tells us when you are going through the anxious things of your life, you pray to God with thanksgiving. So the attitude that we have, understanding who he is so unbelievably important. And I want to talk about our worship. In class, I didn't know it was going to come up, but we talked about worship and what this was going to look like and what it's supposed to be. And that's really what I want to discuss this morning. Exodus the 33rd chapter in verse 16, you don't have to turn there. Moses is talking to God, and Moses says, "God, you're the one that distinguishes us. You distinguish us. You're what makes us better. Your people. It's not about us. You distinguish us." And that's the same thing today. We have the opportunity to be children of the Almighty God. And we need to understand how powerful that is. Not because of things that we have done, but because of who he is. This past year, we've talked about, if you could see the things on the door, on the windows over there, we've talked about being worthy to him. We talked about drawing near to him. Well, the reality of doing those things, it's supposed to change us. So when you think about this year, are you living a life that is more worthy of him? Are you drawing closer to him? How is your relationship with God today compared to what it was yesterday, what it was the year before? The opportunity that we have to have this relationship with him is so powerful. One of the things that I always talk about is that it cannot be that the last one we think about being in church, as we say this morning, is God. That's why we're here, to worship our Almighty God in all that he has done. And that reminds me so much of Psalm 100. If you underline Psalms, this is a beautiful one. This is one that you can memorize. But I want you to think about this from our worship perspective and what it looks like from worship. It says, "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, his faithfulness to all generations. How we praise God is so important. Our worship to him is so important. When we come to worship our God, how long does it take you to realize that you're in his presence? When does that cross your mind? Right now? When we partook of the Lord's Supper, how difficult is it for you to think about his death? I mean, we sing a song to help prepare our minds. We talk about it to help prepare our minds. And if you're still coming away saying, I have trouble thinking about it, that might be a you issue. That's a relationship problem. I've had people die in my life that I was very close to. I don't need anybody to talk necessarily about them to remind me, like, oh, that's right. I remember him. I know them. And you take that to the next level. Well, we're talking about Jesus Christ, the creator of all things, who came to this earth and died for me and for you. It should never be far from our minds. And when we think about a psalm like Psalm 100, when it talks about the joyful singing, how is your singing? Do we only sing joyfully when we like the song tune? It's not necessarily the words. We all get to sing in four-part harmony and then four different parts and the alto added in. That was a beautiful song. So were the others when we're singing praises to God. What is it that makes us want to worship our God? I want you to think about this quote. Worship is mind, emotion, and will engaged in a whole person ascription of worth. What does that mean? I will worship as much as I think the one is deserving of the worship. So when I worship God, it's going to be based on how much I think he's worthy of worship. That's powerful to me. Do I think he is worthy of me taking time out of my life to think about him, to praise his high and holy name, to think about what his son did for me, to take the time to read this book that we have, to pray to him? A lot of it is based on how much I find him to be worthy. You know, it's interesting, in Isaiah the 29th chapter in verse 13, it says, "And the Lord said, because this people draw near with their mouth and honor me with their lips, while their heart is far from me, and their fear of me is the commandment taught by men." You know, it's interesting, this is in obviously Isaiah, Jesus is going to say this about the Pharisees, but this can be said about us. I can come and sit in a building, we talked about you can forsake the assembly in the building, you can sing the songs. We can partake of the Lord's Supper from the outside, meaning physically we're putting it in our mouth, we're bowing our heads in prayer. But that doesn't mean that I am worshiping him. It means that I'm going through the checklist, as we say. But it doesn't mean my heart is in it. What about us? What about you this morning? Mark, the 12th chapter in verse 30, tells us that we need to love God with our whole being. Heart, soul, mind. Our whole being. And I believe that's exactly how we're supposed to worship God. With our whole being. It is a powerful lesson that I think we need to understand when we talk about worshiping our God. Over in John, the 4th chapter, this is the perfect illustration of what true worship looks like, and certainly a very powerful chapter, a lot of things to get from this chapter. But I just want you to think about the term worship that is used here. You have the woman at the well. Jesus comes up to her and begins to talk to her about the water. and this water that he had that he could offer that nobody else could offer, and she would never be thirsty again. And so he goes into this conversation with her, and it ends up being about where people worship, where the Samaritans worship, where Israel worships. And she gets kind of caught up on that in verse 20. In verse 21, Jesus says, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship must worship him in spirit and in truth." I want you to think about what is being said here. This is not saying, by the way, that it doesn't matter where you worship. What it is saying is it truly matters who you are worshiping. Do we truly understand who he is? Obviously, there's an importance in a conversation you have of where you're worshiping. There's other things that go into that. But for this conversation, the key is, are we worshiping the true God? Are we worshiping the Father? Do you really know who he is? Do we worship him as he deserves? It's not simply about sincerity. It's not simply about coming into a building and feeling like we had talked about in class that I'm doing what is right. It's about truth and the importance of truth. Worship is to be genuine. It's not simply something that you just go through. It's not something we just check off the list. It is truly understanding why we are here to worship our God. And it can't just simply be in truth. It cannot just be in truth. There's a lot of times I think that we're afraid to show emotion. It doesn't have to be outwardly. There's a lot of people that can show emotion or have emotion inside. But why are we afraid to show emotion? I mean, I showed emotion. There's been two football games recently I've really showed emotion. I'm not going to mention it. Some of you may have showed emotion the opposite a couple weeks ago. I have no issue showing emotion in any other thing. I have no issue showing emotion at a funeral. What about worshiping my God? When we sing songs of praise to him, does it sound like I'm at a funeral and I'm sad all the time? There certainly are times people are sad. I'm not suggesting there's not. But when we praise the Lord, and if you're in a great mood, all of a sudden it's just praise the Lord. And I know that happens. We've got to understand how powerful our worship is. Not simply because we're doing it, it's because God wants us to. And he is deserving of it. The word worship that is used here in John is different than some of the other places. Here it means to kiss the hand, adoration. You're adoring him. We understand, obviously, with reverence, but you are falling at his feet is the worship here. We're bowing before him. And true worshipers worship in spirit and in truth. True worshipers fall at his feet. Kiss his hand as the king that he is. There's other places where worship will be used. Romans the 12th chapter as an example. And it's more of from the standpoint of service. It's what I do because I have a relationship with God. He's seen in my life. I worship him. This is when we are bowing before him. When we are praising his name, when we are worshiping him as we serve our God, understanding who he is and how awesome it is. I know there's been conversation, we've talked about it today in class, about coming to services three times. I don't understand why it's not every day. Except for that'd be a lot of work for me. But it's worshiping our God. I'm going to tell you, there's this amazing thing that happens Sunday morning to Sunday night to Wednesday. The crowd gets smaller, which is normal. But you, if you are not here on Sunday night or Wednesday, you are missing some of our great young people doing some amazing things. And you're not here to encourage them. And you're not here for them to encourage you. We have the opportunity to do so much, to encourage one another so much in our worship to the Almighty God. And that is a choice that you have, and it's a choice that I have. One of the things we talked about in class are some of the issues as to why this is a problem when we talk about a spiritual life. Why do we struggle? And I believe the biggest struggle we have is I cannot see past me. It's all about me. What am I doing Wednesday night? I'm too tired. What about the other people? What about the rest of your family? What about your children that need to go to class to be encouraged in class? They have no issue going to school. I don't want them to go and hear about God. See, that's the attitude we have to be careful of. And there's a reason why it should be a passionate subject for all of us. My God is worthy of your praise. And if you don't know him, please let me introduce him to you. The one that is worthy of you falling on your face and worshiping. That's the God that we serve. The danger so often, you don't have to read this whole thing because it's long, but just the first part is so powerful to me. When worship is an intellectual exercise only, we can choose to check out. But when worship involves emotive expression, the whole person is drawn in. And it continues on talking about that. But I love that. There are people sitting in the building that are checked out. How do I know that? Because I've done it. Just checked out. You're here. Some of you are even looking at me. I'll tell you, some in this congregation have it down where your head does not bob at all when you're asleep. That's an amazing gift that you have. It is. It's impressive. You obviously think I can't see, but it's impressive that you're able to do that. But we check out. That's why in Sardis, God says, wake up. Wake up. Understand the importance as to why we are here. It's not to hear me. It's to hear God's word. It's not to necessarily see one another, though. It's wonderful to see you, and it's wonderful to encourage one another. We're here to praise God. And one of the most amazing things in the scriptures, and this is just one place that talks about it over in Psalm 149, when we talk about our God, again, if you underline verses, this one is powerful to me. When we talk about our God, it's not, well, just read it. Psalm 149, this is talking about praising God, coming to the end of the Psalms here. But in verse 4, it says, for the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He will beautify the afflicted ones with salvation. I love that verse. He's not just up there demanding you to worship him or else. He takes pleasure in you. He's worthy of our praise. But our God loves you more than you will ever, ever understand. It is a love that only the creator of all things can have, where he would create us knowing what we would decide to do. Give us free will to make those choices and then have a plan that included his son dying. The tremendous love that he has. There are people caught up in all sorts of things in this life. There are people here that are caught up in all sorts of things in this life, and I know. But all of that pales in comparison to the opportunity that we have to worship our God. There is nothing greater. Over in Psalm 29, The word ascribe is going to be used. It means to give, as we would say. It says, ascribe to the Lord, O sons of the mighty. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in holy array. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. And he goes on and he talks about this attitude about the majestic and what he's able to do. But I just love the first few verses here for this subject. Ascribe what is due him. So I ask you, in your worship to him, what is due him? What is due him? What have you decided he is worth? Sundays? Only half of Sundays? Just sitting in a building? What is he worth? And I'm not talking about Sunday and Wednesday. What is he worthy of? Our God is worthy of the glory that is due him, which means every single day of my life, I am living as a child of the living God. I am his son. You are his son or daughter. And I am going to celebrate and worship my God to the best of my ability all the time. Now, some of those times is going to be with tears because I'm going through difficulties and I know he is there for me. And I thank God that he is there for me. But a lot of our time is just simply because we're so busy. And the God that gave you that time is telling you, you need to take time and worship me. So how busy are we? It's his time that he gave you. I encourage you to use it wisely. We have the opportunity, as we close this morning, to make sure that we have this relationship with him. That we are living the life that we need to, that we are worshiping him the way that he deserves to be worshiped. Because he is simply God. He has done everything for us. Everything. And he asks you, or gives us the opportunity to be able to live with him for eternity. If you do not have a relationship with God, certainly some of the things we've talked about may be foreign to you. That's why I said earlier, let me introduce you to this God that deserves this kind of praise. I would love to talk to you about him. If you need to obey the gospel because you do understand or see who he is, we would love nothing more to bring you into his family and to rejoice with the angels. If you need to repent of your sins, confess him as the Lord that he is, be buried with him in baptism for the remission of your sins, now's the time. As always, make sure you're praying for one another. A lot of people are going through a lot of things, and we have the opportunity to help one another in our family here. So pray for one another. But if there's anything that we can do for you right now, I ask you to please come as we stand and sing.